Lesson 18, Hebrew Accounting. This lesson begins on page 125 of your book. This audio text version does not contain the reading of any listed footnotes. When calculating the birth year of the Antichrist, what is perhaps an obvious question emerges: why wouldn't God just spell it out within the pages of the Bible? The truth is, He did. You will see for yourself shortly. But what God also did was to cloak the information to protect mankind from not only himself, but from Satan as well. For a moment, just imagine if Satan knew the birth year of the Messiah in advance. All we need do is look at how King Herod was motivated to react to the words of the wise men. Herod directed that every baby boy in the vicinity of Bethlehem, who was 2 years and under, be killed. Does that not seem harsh to you? Now consider that Satan attempted through Adolf Hitler and the Germans to exterminate the Jewish population living in Europe during the course of World War II. This was an effort to stop the reformation of Israel as a nation. But it didn't stop God from reforming them. He reformed the nation of Israel in 1948. But Satan, via the Nazis, wound up murdering over 6 million persons. While it was unlikely Hitler could have killed all the European Jews, notice that it didn't stop the devil from motivating him to at least try. You see, Satan will stop at nothing to defeat God, even one time. Should Satan be able to overcome God's word on but a single occasion, it would cause a catastrophe of cosmic proportion. Satan is doing everything he can, in his use of mankind, to win just once. Fortunately for us, that is an impossibility. I have zero doubt that the devil would have found a way to kill every child born, were he to know the year of the birth of Jesus in advance. Look what he did with Pharaoh back in Egypt. Satan motivated him to have all Hebrew baby boys killed at birth. Again, Moses, the one who led them out of captivity, was yet born and raised. And Pharaoh was only doing this as a means of slowing the population growth of the Jews. While the Antichrist will serve the devil's purposes, I'm convinced Satan would try and kill him too, if God were to allow it. But God does tightly control Satan. The coming of God's two witnesses, who will be assigned to protect the temple, proves it. They will preach from the Temple Mount in Jerusalem for 3.5 years, untouched by human violence. Only when God permits it, will Satan's man be allowed to kill them, so he can enter the temple. Again, it will be in direct fulfillment of biblical prophecy. So yes, God keeps some dates of prophecy secret, until their time is past. This prevents mankind, and or Satan, from attempting to thwart God's will. It is an act of kindness, which results in saving plenty of lives, and mankind a terrific burden of associated violence. We know how fickle people can become upon hearing what they believe to be bad news. Just look at how the most ridiculous and unsubstantiated claims of the end of the world still creates hordes of followers. Those people will freely sell all they have, give everything away, and live in tents, all the while believing the end of man is nigh. Only knowing God's word will grant comfort to his followers in the coming time of peril. When the Antichrist kills God's two witnesses, the entire world will see them lying dead in the streets of Jerusalem. At that point, Satan will think he's finally gotten his victory. Just watch how he and his followers will react. The Bible says the spontaneous worldwide celebration of sending gifts will make Christmas look like nothing. FedEx, UPS, and the Postal Service will experience shipping volumes unheard of in their history. All will be pure pandemonium and unfettered glee for 3.5 days. The bad news arrives around noon on the fourth day. At that time, God will blow the breath of life back into the dead witnesses, and they will rise to their feet. The Bible says terror will strike all who see them. Why? Because everyone will know that the Antichrist is not God and is not all-powerful. They will know he is a total fraud. God foreknew the birthdate of the Antichrist. When you see the amazing symmetry between it and the birth of Christ, you too will be amazed. We begin by calculating the time interval between the birth of Abraham and the birth of Christ. Since the Bible doesn't give us the details of the genealogy for Jesus like it does for Abraham, we must find another way. Fortunately, God gave us a way. We return to our discussion of the Hebrew calendar. Recall the Jews began to count the years from creation in Genesis. The current year, according to their ongoing work, is now 5778, in 2018. If you're reading this book in 2020, the Hebrew year would be 5780. The number hasn't been adjusted in the modern age. It's been a stable and reliable number. It's been heavily scrutinized for a couple of thousand years. Now, there might be those who disagree with the Hebrew method of accounting for time. However, the Jewish calendar has been around a very long time, and has survived much scrutiny intact. Their calculations were based on the biblical account of the ages of the people listed there. One can argue all they want, but there is no better or accurate method available. So, to calculate the year in which Christ was born, we just subtract our current year of 2018 from 5778. Year 5778 minus 2018 years equals the year 3760. This equates to 1 BC, since there was no year zero. To calculate the years between Abraham's birth to Christ, we subtract 2007 years from year 3760. Year 3760 minus year 2007 equals 1753 years. Here's the number we've been seeking. According to biblical information, coupled with the Hebrew calendar, we have determined our number. There were 1753 years between the birth of Abraham and the birth of Jesus Christ. I want to point out that this number is not located anywhere within the pages of the Bible. But, it is still a valid number. This situation is similar to when I first proposed the master grid, located on the back cover of my book, The End Is Near. More than a few persons came to me, wanting to dispute the date of the first Babylonian invasion. How do you know it was on the 19th of July 606 BC? My answer to them is the same I will render now: you've got to look at all the facts before making your decision as to the accuracy of the information. Looking at all the data together forms a coherent picture. The truth is found in the miraculous nature of God's work. When you consider that God gave us 12 derived dates from which to form the master grid, He carefully gave us 6 of them in the modern era, with 2 of them yet to shortly come to pass. These dates in the modern era are not in dispute. Israel declared her independence as a nation on May 14, 1948. President Eisenhower gave a national address affirming Israel's security on the 6th of January 1957. The Israeli army captured East Jerusalem and the Temple Mount on the 7th of June 1967. These dates happened on the exact date as predicted by the earlier elements of the master grid. Therefore, the earlier dates must be correct, since they were part of the larger prophecy. Now, add in the predicted date of President Trump affirming Jerusalem as Israel's eternal capital, on the 14th of May 2018, exactly in accordance with prophecy, as detailed on this same master grid. His movement of the embassy and pronouncement essentially came out of nowhere. How can one then dispute any of the dates from antiquity? It's the same way with the birthdate of the Antichrist. In the follow-on lessons, I will be presenting additional facts which support the information already laid out before us. That's why we can accept the biblical lineage and timing of the patriarchs as being accurate. That's why we can trust the Hebrew number for the current year. Frankly, it's the best that's available. We can argue the finer points, but to what end? The man we identify as the Antichrist matches every single criterion the Bible gives us. By using nearly 100 verses and a careful examination of the life and facts surrounding Jesus Christ as a template, discovering the birthdate of the Antichrist, is yet one more fact among many. As you continue to examine the material, keep in mind the level of proof for legal matters, calls for elimination of reasonable doubt. It's a minimum level of proof to convict. This book exceeds that burden of proof on many levels. Lesson 18, Questions for Discussion. Question 1, The Bible frequently cloaks the timing of prophecy. Explain two reasons why God does this. Question 2, The book of Revelation states, the two dead witnesses will come back to life. Why will God allow this to happen? Question 3, The Bible lists the genealogy from Adam to Abraham. Is this information trustworthy? Explain why or why not. Question 4, God allows us to calculate certain prophetic dates. Why would He choose this method? When you're ready, you can proceed on to Lesson 19, Patriarchs of Distinction. If you're listening using the website, just hit the back button on your browser to return to the page with the Chapter 4 lessons. Then move on to Lesson 19, Patriarchs of Distinction. Click on the blue box to hear the lesson with all footnotes read aloud. Click on the green box to hear the version without them. If you're using an audio player along with the thumb drive to listen to the book, it will automatically sequence to the next lesson. If you wish to stop play, just hit pause or stop. As long as you keep the thumb drive in the player, it will remember your place when you resume listening. If you're listening to the book on a computer or tablet, manually selecting which lesson to listen to next, click on the File Explorer to pull up the thumb drive menu. Then, click on the box for Lesson 18, labeled 4.19, Patriarchs of Distinction, to hear the next lesson.